It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In case you missed it, earlier this week, May 31st to be exact, Major League Baseball celebrated its annual Roberto Clemente Day. Clemente is a beloved figure in the city of Pittsburgh, but during the 18 years he played baseball for the Pirates, his relationship with the city, and particularly the members of the local press corps who covered him, was strained. In his current piece, No Gentle Saint, Washington Post associate editor Dave Marinus looks at Clemente's criticism of baseball and American society. Mr. Marinus is the author of the book Clemente, The Passion and Grace of Baseball's Last Hero. He joins us now by phone from Washington. Dave Marinus, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Great to be with you.
You point out that there is a Clemente mythology that makes him appear to have been this agreeable, benevolent fellow, but that in reality, in addition to those things, he was also, most notably, an outspoken critic on important issues that remain relevant today in both baseball and society. Talk about what those issues are.
Well, Clemente was, I had to overcome the double prejudice of race and language. He was a Puerto Rican, which is American, who came sort of as a migrant worker baseball player to Pittsburgh for 18 wonderful seasons, and had to deal with both the racism of spring training in the South and of the overcoming the language barrier. He spoke Spanish. None of the sports writers spoke English. And they frequently, commonly, quoted him in the newspaper in broken English. And even in the headlines, if he said, "I got a hit," they would write it "heat," H-E-E-T. He was a very proud person, very intelligent, and he was constantly fighting both for the rights of himself, of people, of color, and of Puerto Ricans and the Spanish language.
Why were statements in the press presented so condescendingly in broken English the way Clemente's were, and that was not only true in his case, but other Hispanic athletes? Was that the a practice of the times, or why exactly was that done?
You know, I think it was a very different time, although one of the things that got me thinking about it was just a week or so ago, a newspaper in Houston quoted Carlos Gomez, another Latino ball player, in that same form of broken English, 40-some years later. So, but it was more common then. And, you know, I describe it as sort of this cross currents of what you might call reality journalism. In other words, they were quoting him verbatim, but also that comes against the notion of them not understanding Spanish, him trying to speak in a second language, and of his sense of self and pride. So it was an insult to him and to most Latinos when that happened.
And it's always struck me that, you know, when you hear, when that is done, when people take that condescending attitude towards someone whose first language is not English, but they're still attempting to speak it, and in many cases doing a better job of it than they or we would, trying to speak Spanish. That you know they're turning they're turning the tables on the guy who's actually smarter than they are, which seems to be bizarre. You say in your
and that's one reason, Paul, why in the probably the most glorious moment of his entire career, after he was the most valuable player in the 1971 World Series and was interviewed in the clubhouse afterwards on national television, Clemente gave his statement in Spanish first about how he was dedicating this to his parents and to the people of Puerto Rico, and he said it in Spanish.
Yeah, many of us remember that moment well as kids, watching after Game 7 of the World Series, how he said he wanted to speak to his parents in Spanish and did, in fact, do that. You say in your piece, we were just talking about Donald Trump, you say in your piece that you wish Clemente were around to respond to GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump and those who promote fear based on geography and language and race. How do you think Clemente would respond?
Well, he was outspoken. both in politics and, you know, in social issues. And I think that the entire notion of playing against the other, which is part of the Trump campaign, whether it's Mexican immigrants or Muslims, is something that Clemente, who had a universal sensibility, would have been very strongly opposed to. Of course, when I wrote that, I got, I guess the modern word is trimmed by many Trump supporters who said, you know, keep politics out of a story about baseball. But the very point is that Clemente did not. He did not, you know, he was a great baseball player, but he was also very political.
So many of today's baseball and sports stars embrace celebrity, bask in it, wallow in it. By contrast, you point out that Clemente disdained the trappings of celebrity, and this might be hard for fans of today to believe.
You know, I don't want to make it appear that Clemente didn't enjoy being considered great. He was a very proud human being and would bristle sometimes if people said someone else had a better arm from right field than he did. But he was most at ease in situations that were not part of the celebrity limelight. I can't tell you how many people talked to me for the book and afterwards who said that they were children in Pittsburgh in that time, or they sold soda pop as vendors in the stadium, or even were from another city but saw Clemente and how gracious he was to them, to poor people, to kids. He loved traveling around Puerto Rico and the hills and talking to the Jibaros, the young rural people, farmers. And that was really when he was most in his element, with people who had nothing to give to him except humanity.
What was Clemente's relationship like with the fans in terms of overcoming what you point out as ingrown prejudices of the Pirates' overwhelmingly white working class fan base? Was he able to become a man of the people here in Pittsburgh as much as he was in his hometown of or his homeland of Puerto Rico?
Certainly after his death, yes. And to a large degree, even during his career, it was one of his great triumphs. You know, he came to a city that really had very few Latinos. It had an established African-American population and then was overwhelmingly white, sort of working class. And to a degree that no other athlete could do, Clemente transcended that. And certainly by the time after his death, you tried to find anyone in Clemente.
We're talking with baseball writer Dave Marinus. He is the author of a book about Roberto Clemente called Clemente, The Passion and Grace of Baseball's Last Hero. He is a Washington Post associate editor and recently penned a piece about Roberto Clemente that coincides with Roberto Clemente Day, celebrated annually by Major League Baseball. Just a couple last questions for you, David.
You
use Clemente as Exhibit A in your argument against the worth of analytics, which are all the rage in baseball these days. Explain this.
Yeah, again, you know, that didn't go over well with some of the analytics folks, but that's fine with me. I say, you know, I'm an agnostic on it. I'm not against using intelligent information and data to improve, one's baseball team. I think that makes common sense. But I just like the sort of turning it into a religion where that's all that matters. And it's not in sports. What you remember from sports are not the numbers, but the beauty of some game or some play. And nobody provided more of that beauty than Roberto Clemente. So, you know, to just quantify him by numbers doesn't really show how what a tremendous athlete he was.
And the last thing I wanted to bring up was a real interesting paragraph in your article where you really address so much of the issue that people deal with today with children in particular not engaging in playing outdoors and making up games of their own and going to the default video game at home to find self-gratification. And what you said exactly is it's hard to imagine a boy today in any society so devoid of other things to do that he would, like young Roberto in the town of Carolina, fill a sock with rocks or hard dirt to make a baseball and throw it again and again against the wall. That boy is more likely to download a video game on his cell phone. That really says a lot, doesn't it?
Well, I'm sorry to say that it's largely true. But that's not to say that kids don't still love to play sports, but there's just so many other electronic diversions today that who knows, in 30 years, whether all sports will be just sort of played on by gamers instead of the reality of them. But that it says not just a lot about kids, but about our whole culture.
We've been talking with Dave Marinus. He's the author of the book Clemente, The Passion and Grace of Baseball's Last Hero, and particularly focusing on his recent piece, No Gentle Saint, talking about how Roberto Clemente was a fierce critic of both baseball and American society. I would urge you to go online and check it out. In the meantime, Dave Marinus, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Great to talk to you, Paul. Thank you.
Coming up, what is the economic impact of the Penguins' Stanley Cup run? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.